All right. Well, anybody else have anything here to share? Oh, Mom does. Hang on a second.
Hi, everyone. Boy, that was a wonderful message. I sure wish Daniel's favorite apostasy watcher could get to hear that. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, I'd like to just share something the Lord was speaking to me this week, reminding me of some things that he spoke to me before. This week, an old friend and a sister in the Lord called me, whom I had not heard from for a while, quite a while. And I was so blessed to find out that she is still enduring and waiting with much expectation for the coming of the Lord to bring God's kingdom to earth. We walked together in the Lord years ago, and her path kind of went down one way and mine another. But I was so blessed to hear her tell me how she was still feeling. And I thought, what a personal Lord we have. What an individual Lord we have, that he just takes us individually and speaks to us and leads us and guides us if our heart's right towards him. Just individually he does that. What a wonderful God that he is. That's so wonderful. We talked about the manifestation of the sons of God, something that God taught us years ago. And so I started meditating on this again. And Romans 8 says that the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. And that's when we will be set in as sons. That's when the manifestation of the sons of God will be, at the resurrection. We will be set in as sons at the resurrection, and the work that has been going on within a people for 2,000 years will be manifested without, for the world to see. Jesus said the kingdom of God, years when he was here on earth, that the kingdom of God is without observation. The kingdom of God is within. But now we are coming to the end of the age of grace, and the kingdom of God will be manifested openly to the world. What a glorious day it will be to come forth as a son of God on that day. Paul said, if we are children of God, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. And so hang in there and keep enduring. The scripture says, in Matthew 24, that he who endures to the end shall be saved. Something else that I was meditating on. You know, there's a real special promise to those who endeavor to walk in tabernacle truths, which includes going on to perfection. In Matthew 24:45-47, it says, who is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler of his household, to give them meat in due season. Now the meat in due season is tabernacle truth, going on to perfection. You know, Jesus fulfilled the literal Feast of Tabernacle when he died on the cross. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon flesh, that was the fulfillment of the Jewish Feast of Pentecost. And right now, we're walking in the fulfillment of the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, which will go on even through the Millennium Age. And it said, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing, that is, giving meat in due season. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And you know, Zechariah, in talking about the last days, said that And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And so the Feast of Tabernacles, people will still be keeping it during the millennium. And the Feast of Tabernacles is right now, God has sent forth his truth of the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's whoever is endeavoring to walk in that or share that or teach that, God gives a special promise to those that are given that meat in due season. Praise the Lord. Shalom.
Amen. Good word, Mom. Praise the Lord. All righty. Anybody else have anything to share? Ed? You guys have anything?
Yeah.
Oh, Joey has something? Good. Pardon me. Joey has something here. Hang on.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? That was good, Mama. Very good. Anyway, I was meditating about a historical film we watched the other week. It was based on the true story that was surrounding the 70 AD siege of Jerusalem by the Roman Empire. Okay, in this movie, there was a number of Jews that were able to escape the destruction. A remnant of them were able to unite and ended up seeking a place of safety and refuge on top of a 1,300-foot high rock plateau out in the Judean desert. Furnished and fortified by Herod himself years prior, being a natural place of military advantage against oncoming surrounding enemies, it was a very safe place to flee to in the midst of a revolt. This place was called Masada. It comes from a Hebrew word that translates to the English word fortress. Masada today is considered to be a monumental, inspirational part of the Israeli military force, symbolizing their nature of great self-sacrifice orientation for the sake of freedom for their people and for the independence of their land unto the God of their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So this remnant of almost 1,000 Jews who fled the destruction of Jerusalem of 70 AD established a stronghold in Masada. Led by their leader Eleazar, they resisted the Roman hands of captivity and slavery, rape and molestation and abuse as they stood their ground on top of this huge rock as their fortress and stronghold against their Roman enemies. Within a few years, by 73 AD, the Romans finally got through the walls of Masada in their anticipation to captivate all of the remaining Jews. The night before the foreseen successful entrance of the Romans to Masada, Eleazar declared in his final speech to his fellow remnant Jews shortly before the inevitable invasion, he said, quote, "Since we long ago resolved never to be servants to the Romans, nor to any other than to God himself, who alone is the true and just Lord of mankind, the time is now come that obliges us to make that resolution true in practice." In their shocking and absolutely unexpected result of their entrance, the Romans were not able to imprison or take captive any of the Jews. In their ruthless determination to be free from Roman captivity, the Jews complied to what they all agreed upon at all costs to not be taken by the hand of the Romans. Their leader declared in that same night of his final speech. He continued by saying, quote, "We were the very first that revolted, and we are the last to fight against them," the Romans. "And I cannot but esteem it as a favor that God has granted us that it is still in our power to die bravely and in a state of freedom." Now, obviously, we today are not to be in the same spirit and of methodology in our fight in the way those guys kept themselves free from the Romans. Today's end time battle is spiritual, and God has a remnant of spiritual soldiers for his kingdom, and he has provided them the rock that is higher than any fortress in all the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is that rock, who is our only place of refuge and fortress, a strong tower, and a place of ultimate safety and protection against all the assault of the enemies of our soul. Satan and his troops of demons and Islamic pigs are constantly seeking the destruction of God's people in the city of Jerusalem, physically and spiritually. He's been defiling the temple at so many different levels and degrees, destroying so many Christians through deceptions and religious confusions, putting them under the bondage of demons and being captives of the delusions of life in this wicked world system. It's a very, very sad situation that we are living in today. But also, I was being encouraged as I was thinking about this event in Jewish history, that God has a remnant of spiritual zealots who will stand their ground on God's rock, His holy hill, and Mount Zion, who will not be taken captive by Satan's wicked empire. They will not commit a physical mass suicide, but they will be so dead to self and be spiritually alive to battle and overcome all of the attacks of Antichrist. I believe that Satan is constantly trying to bring these people down from that place of spiritual fortress and stronghold. He is furiously trying to bring them down from God's holy mount called Zion. As I was thinking about this, I was personally being encouraged and exhorted to make sure that I am to pay the price in order to be in and to remain on top of God's mountain, Zion. And a huge part of such resolve of being free and not come under the slavery of Satan and his empire is a true walk of death to self, suicide of the Adamic man, and living in the spirit at all cost. As I mentioned above, that today Masada is considered to be a very special inspirational mark of Israel. Namely, Israeli soldiers are sworn in on top of this place, chanting the words, "Masada shall never fall again." I believe it is imperative to have an attitude and to have a strong desire and resolve to see Satan and all of the enemies that defy the armies of the living God thrown into the lake of fire for what they have done to God's people throughout history. Amen. It also reminds me of what Hitler and his Nazi regime did to the Jews in cold blood murder. I'm reminded time and time again about how Muhammad, cursed be his name, and his followers of Islam, even today, as they express their murderous hatred to all Jews and Christians, in suicide bombings and other forms of terroristic attacks. I believe that God's spiritual soldiers and warriors will defend God's land and support and love His people Israel in these critical times, as Satan and the world's attack against Israel, which we will see more than ever before, so rampant as it is escalating and unfolding day by day. I pray that God will protect His warriors that are out there, who have a love and care for Jerusalem, who will lay their lives down in supporting God's vision for His beloved land and people. And whether I will ever see them in this life or not, I know that God is raising them up, bringing them into a place of perfection and maturity to carry out the authority to see Satan one day be completely dethroned and cast into the lake of fire by the power of God, along with all the people who's on His side in their murdering and molestations and raping of God's people all throughout history. David of old said, that young warrior, the son of Jesse, he said, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" God's true warriors will defend the armies of the living God as the Lord leads them. I believe they will be tenacious in their resolve for complete victory for the glory of the God of Israel. They will be ruthless in spiritually decapitating their enemies, as David did physically with the head of giants who defied the armies of the living God. In closing, I want to read what David Wilkerson wrote about God's special forces in one of his daily devotional. He says, "You've heard of the U.S. Army's special forces. a highly trained army within an army, an elite unit of dedicated soldiers. Special forces are made up completely of volunteers, fighters who have been noticed and called out by their superiors. Before the war in Afghanistan, Osama bin Laden had said that American soldiers were weak, cowardly, not trained for mountain warfare. He predicted that the Taliban would send U.S. troops home in shame, but he had not counted on America's special forces. This fearless unit invaded Afghanistan with a mere 2,000 soldiers. Within days, it had located all the enemy strongholds. I believe God is doing something similar in the spiritual realm. While in prayer, I was impressed by the Holy Spirit with the concept. God has been at work in the heavenlies in a covert operation. He's raising up an army within an army, searching his regular troops to form an elite unit of volunteers. This special force is made up of warriors he can touch and stir to do battle with the enemy. We see a picture of this in the battle with Saul's special militia. The word tells us with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. 1 Samuel 10:26. God's special forces today include the young, the middle-aged, even the elderly. They've been training in their secret closets of prayer. Their intimacy with Jesus has taught them how to fight. Now they know how to do battle on any spiritual plane, whether in the mountains or in the valleys. God's army within an army is in place in every nation. Its activity may be covert now, but soon we'll see it doing exploits in the name and power of Christ. God's word is coming forth, and the famine is ending. The Lord will prevail. His word shall conquer all. Daniel 11:32 says, "The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." Isaiah 40:31. Last point. I believe that freedom, spiritual freedom, is only maintained by fighting the kingdom of darkness at all costs through a life of true death to self and never ever giving up our position in that place of fortress and stronghold that God has called us to stand and dwell in, which is in Mount Zion, even to the point of death. Amen.
Excellent. Good word. Well, these guys are becoming warriors here. Amen. I'll do one more thing before we close. I'm going to play something for you. And it's Glenn Beck talking about in Egypt this week, a Nazi party has been formed. And he can't believe that there's no reaction to that. People don't care. People just take it blasé. So let me play this for you quick before we stop tonight. Give me a second to change over here quick.
I'm going to make this really easy for you to see right and wrong here. There is a new party that is now being formed in Egypt. It is the new Nazi party. A group of Egyptians have announced their intent to establish a Nazi party with a contemporary frame of reference. What is a Nazi party with a contemporary frame of reference? Can you even guess?
They blame Jews for new things.
They can annihilate the Jews by nuclear weapons?
Right, more efficiently.
Yeah, we can find them all online now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We don't have to go door to door anymore.
Facebook! We can get them all on Facebook so we know where they are and round them up.
No need to use railroads anymore. We can actually fly them to their camps. I don't know. I don't know what the...
Nazi party with a contemporary frame of reference. This is reported on the Egyptian news website. It's a leftist website. Al Badil, the founding member of the new Egyptian Nazi party, is Ahmad Abdul Sattar. He says the party would bring together prominent figures from the Egyptian society. The party's founding deputy is a former military official. The party believes investing all powers in the president after selecting him or her carefully, adding that the preparations are underway to choose the most competent person to represent the new Egyptian Nazi Party. There is a needed restoration of courage. The hatred of the past is returning, and we are going to repeat exactly the same mistakes. We have a special coming up next week on TV, The History of the Nazis with the Middle East. It's the same players. It, believe it or not, it's the Muslim Brotherhood. We have been talking about the righteous among nations off the air, and these are the people that have saved Jews. They have smuggled them out. They have hidden them behind walls. They have stood many times at their own expense and saved Jews. And the hatred for the Jews always, always is coupled with the hate of capitalism and the bankers. It's the bankers and the Jews. I mean, how many times have you heard the theories about, it's the Rothschilds, it's all the Jewish bankers from this is the hatred. And it's always under the surface. And it takes vigilance to make sure that it never does. It never pops up. Now you have the literal formation of a Nazi party. Does kill the Jews, kill the Jews, kill the Jews? Does it make sense a little more? Does it make it more real? How did we go from a nation that understood good versus evil just a few years ago to now when you hear hundreds of thousands of people in many countries chanting, kill the Jews, that we don't even recognize it? It's not even a blip on the radar. How's that happening? Just as it happened in Europe at the turn of the century, bit by bit, slowly, slowly. And you learn to dismiss it. And the ultimate dismissal comes when food is at stake. When your security, whether it's food or whether it's a job or whether it's your actual security, when that comes at stake, it's too late to make the decision on who you are. And I don't know about you, but they'll have to come through me. And if that means they come through me and they get me and then the Jew, well, so be it. I would rather die trying to protect someone. I would rather die trying to be righteous than cower, than to turn a blind eye and have my children say, how did you not see it? I see it. If you choose not to see it, that's fine. But you know in your heart of hearts, you may not want to make the sacrifice. You may not want to admit it. You may want to think that this will all go away, but it never does. The Nazi Party is forming in Egypt. They have just opened the border in Egypt. They are no longer protecting that border. For more information, go to glenbeck.com/Israel.
Okay, sorry about that. But here's a guy who doesn't have the spirit of God. He's just moral, got religion, and he has more of a sense of what's right and wrong than a theologian who's supposed to be able to spot false doctrine and expose false teachers and false preachers. It's such a delusion that these Christians hate Israel. And they'll turn around and say, no, I'm neutral. I don't hate the Jews. I just, you know, think we ought to be fair. And they hate the Jews all the while. They're full of the spirit who hates the Jews. So there's a guy that doesn't have the spirit of God, has more sense than Michael Horton or the guy who posted his article. Well, if nobody has anything else, we'll shut her down. And remember, next week is open mic. So everybody come with something. You'll have a lot. Just share something. The Lord's working in our lives. You know, it has to be something to share. All righty. Well, I guess we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.